Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled One Ringy Dingy. Doesn't anybody want to just go, what is wrong with him? Our sermon title today is that, and it comes from Psalm chapter 116, verses 1 through 9. And while you're looking that up, I had an incident this week, and it was kind of a shocker. I was minding my own business, walking a street downtown, and I saw this guy coming toward me screaming. He had something in his hand. And it froze me for a minute because I was the only one on the street, and he was running right at me. And as he got closer, I realized he had a glass of milk. And he was screaming and got closer, and as he got right to me, he threw the milk on me. He attacked me with the milk. As he ran away, I thought, how dare he? Really? That was a good one. Randy's laughing. That's all that matters to me. How dare he? One ringy dingy from Psalm chapter 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my voice cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Please pray with me. Father, set our hearts aside right now that we may concentrate here on what is in front of us. Prepare us to receive your word, these thoughts, these moments that will help strengthen us and guide us along, Father. Pray that this is what we need for this week to come, and we may use bits and pieces of it in our daily walk and to speak to others who are struggling, who may be lost, of the glory and salvation of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Tom was born in January 1854. Now, in his life, he wanted to experience things. And because of where he was born in Massachusetts, he was able to get a very good education. He found first a job as a bookkeeper. And in his notes he wrote, I had to sit in a room all day long staring out the window at the world going by me. And though I liked playing with numbers, I didn't care to be sitting in that room. So I quit. And I had to get a job, so I went and became a carpenter. And I spent my days building things, and I began to grow from that, but it didn't satisfy me. I wanted to be more creative. And so I hired on with Charles Williams Machine Shop up in Boston in 1872. And there Thomas learned about not just machine work, but theory and engineering. And he grew from it, and he became educated and smart. And in 1883, Tom founded the Four River Ship and Engine Building Company. He began taking bids and began to build naval destroyers. And by 1901, the Four River Ship and Engine Company was the largest shipyard in America. It would later become one of the major shipyards during World War II, and the company that Tom built would then be purchased by the Bethlehem Steel Corporation and grow from there. When Tom decided that he had gone as far as he could with it and wanted to find a different path in life, he sold out his portion of the shipyard. and decided he was going to go back to his boyhood dream of becoming an actor. Tom wrote, "I wasn't a very good actor, but I sure had fun trying." When he died of heart disease in December of 1934, he died at his winter home in Paza Grill, Florida. But he asked that his remains be taken back home to Massachusetts. And there in Weymouth, he was buried in the family cemetery. His grave sits on top and right next to the cemetery road to which, quote, he always wanted to be buried there to have a vantage point that looked down into the former shipyard. He wanted to see what he felt was his greatest accomplishment in the world. Now, that's pretty good. The man rose up from nothing and built one of the largest shipyards in the world. And it was amazing to me that he considered that his greatest accomplishment. When I read his story, I was surprised what I learned about him and thought, "You missed it, pal. That's not your greatest accomplishment." Apparently, Tom was not one given to patience. When he was in the mind to do something, he didn't want to stand around all day. And so he was tired of standing by the telephone all the time, waiting for it to ring. So he decided he would invent a signaling device. That way nobody would have to stand near a telephone all day long waiting for it. At first he made a hammer, which hit a diaphragm, and then made a buzzer. He said that wasn't good enough. So he changed things around, and he changed things around. After several experiments with the signaling device, he made a ringer that was polarized and stayed in manufacture for 70 years. When the phone rang at one point when a bunch of us was younger, it was because of his design. Now that's a great accomplishment, right? Amen. And that's what I would consider pretty good, but that still to me was not his greatest accomplishment, not his mark. I submit that it was not. I think it was because he met an inventor who was enamored with his electrical abilities, who thought the same way that this inventor did. And they worked together. And they decided they would produce a device that would change the world. And they were right. Because you see, on March 10th, they succeeded. Vibrations of a diaphragm caused a needle to move in mercury, varying electrical resistance in the circuit. And when his buddy, who was in trouble in the other room, was talking and said, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you." In another room, Thomas Watson stood up, realizing he had heard that, and raced to the other room to find his friend A.G. Bell had spilled a little bit of liquid on himself and was hurting. But in that moment, they realized they had just invented the telephone. That's the greatest accomplishment. 150 years later. Now, people would say, that's a lot. But when you think of that moment in 1874, when that took place, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. I need you." 150 years later, we have these. Put your hands up in the room if you have one of these. Let me say, and that's everybody has one of them. You're old, young. I've seen kids walking around at 5 years old with one of these jabbering away. We have the ability to answer the call on one ringy dingy. Now you're getting it. When we call from that phone, someone is there. When we ask for help, someone is there. Because of this, two Saturdays ago, I saved us from certain destruction. Absolute, complete destruction. Now, I have told you 1,000 times, and I guess I have to tell you 1,000 times more, that I am just about as sharp as a marble. I'm not very smart. And when I get things in my head, I stay in that vein. And so last Saturday before, not this past, we were traveling home from the family vacation. I'm sorry, Friday before, we were traveling home from the family vacation in Wildwood. And everybody was happy about leaving Wildwood. Well, they really weren't. I was, because I was ready to get back to my beloved mountains, and the family was in the truck. By the time we got to Baltimore, they were starting to think, well, okay, we'll get home and we'll rest. And I was driving. I had the big truck, the big dually packed with everything, and I was so happy. And when I had left Wildwood for our 4+ hour journey home, I had done my checklist. Let's see, got a truck, check. Got a steering wheel, check. Got tires, check. Got gas, check. Diesel, check. Everything's ready to go. Everything's packed up, tightened down. How many miles till I run out of fuel? 170. Got it. We only got to travel 150 miles. I'll stop on the other side of Baltimore. I'll get some diesel fuel, and life will be good. And so we took off. And as we traveled, they sang songs to my greatness. Dad is delivering us back home safely. And I sat in the truck. They didn't really. That's in my mind, but that's what they should have been doing. And we got on the other side of Baltimore. Yeah, everybody in the truck was asleep. Except for me, because they haven't developed a self-driving truck yet. Got on the other side of Baltimore. Just as we climbed up on to the beltway, the truck went one dingy-dingy. Bing, bing! Which means you're low on fuel. I know that truck. And I pushed the little button on the dash that tells me you have 50 miles to go until you're out of fuel. No problem. I got this. It's 32 miles home. We're good. There's a gas station just outside the Beltway of Baltimore that I'm familiar with. I will stop there and get diesel. Everybody can get out and stretch their legs. We will be home and everybody will have fun. And I'm driving. And the dinger goes off again. One ringy dingy. You have 40 miles to empty. No problem. I got this. We got on 70 westbound. We went past the last exit for a while, Route 29, and I'm hammering that truck, and I'm thinking, man, we're going to be home at 2:30, and everybody's going to be happy, and the truck said, and ran out of fuel. With 40 miles to go on the meter. How did that happen? I know this truck. I've driven this truck for 10 years. I'm sitting there alongside the road like, I don't understand what's happening. In the meantime, my family is all now awake, and they're looking at me like this. And I went into work mode. And I picked up my phone, and I searched out who would help me, and I punched a button, and one ringy dingy later, somebody answered the phone and said, how can I help you? I said, I've run out of fuel alongside the road. And they said, where are you at? And I told them. And they said, we'll be there shortly. 25 minutes later, they showed up with a couple gallons of diesel fuel. We fired up and took off. I got to the gas station, pumped her full, and up the road we went. It's a humorous story, but in that moment, one of the most helpless feelings you can have in all of your life is when your vehicle breaks down alongside the road. Say amen if you agree. That is a helpless feeling. You feel alone. You feel lost. I don't know what to do. You know, if we had been in a Model T Ford, I could have fixed that thing instantly and been going. But that truck has a computer in it now. And I'm not quite up to how to get that thing to think straight. Now, the computer in here wasn't paying attention either, because somebody here didn't want to pay $4.25 a gallon in New Jersey when I knew that Maryland would be $3.20 a gallon. Let me tell you, that'll never happen again. Old Diamond Jim here is going to spend the money. But I picked up the phone in distress, and I called out. And a voice answered, and I was saved. They came. They helped. They were there. Our psalmist writer today is telling the same story. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. One ringy dingy, and God answers. The cords of death entangled me. The psalmist writer is giving a very clear description of where he felt. He felt that he was lost. He felt that he was going to be in certain trouble, in death. And I'm telling you, there are times, brothers and sisters, where you get yourself in those situations, in those predicaments in life, be it whatever it is, and you feel that you are as near to death as you can be. And the psalmist writer is writing that. He says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. One ringy dingy. Oh Lord, save me. And he did. Now what is the psalmist writer saying there? How does that mean anything to us? I'll tell you how. It doesn't have to be as foreboding as that. There are many people out there that have walked around in sorrow and pain and grief by what has captured them in life. Drugs and alcohol, finances, family situations, poor feelings because of job. I don't know. And those people can feel that exact same way. And we have all felt that same way. You sit in here on a Sunday morning, you watch me on the other side of that screen because you want to continue to be lifted up by the word of the Lord that saved you once and always when you called on him. And you don't quit calling on him just because he did it once. You call on him constantly. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, come here. I need you. Now, I want you to think about that statement that A.G. Bell made to Dr. Bell made to Thomas Watson. Come here, I need you. We get to call on the Lord the same way. God, when we say, come here, I need you, comes. The psalmist writer is continuing that on. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. That's us. What they mean by simple-hearted in that moment is all we can see is what's right in front of us at that moment. And that one thing that is troubling us, the Lord is there for. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tear, my feet from stumbling, that I may now walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Those last two verses talk about our salvation. That we are going to be saved. That regardless of what the world has, regardless of what gets thrown against us, because we reached out and said, Jesus, I love you, I get it, save me please, I take you for my Savior, we are saved. We are in trouble no more. We can call out and be heard. And one day, we're going to call out one last time, and the Lord is going to take us home. And then we are going to walk in the land of the living with him forever, away from the anguish, away from the pain. He is always there. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. One night, hostile natives surrounded his station, intent on burning him and his wife out. And so, John said, we prayed, we asked for God's protection, we placed it in his hands, and then we went to bed. Went to bed. Went to bed. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers had left. 1 year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. And remembering what had happened, John asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in shock and surprise, looking at him, well, who were all those men there with you? What do you mean? The chief said there were men there, surrounding him. John Patton said there was nobody here, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission house. One ringing, dinging. Lord, come save me. And place your faith in Him. Place your trust in Him. That's all He asks. He is full of compassion. He is full of love. He is full of mercy. How do we know this to be true? Say it with me. For God so loved the world. Say it. One ringing, dinging, one cry in the night, and God in His compassion saved us now and for all time. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, I beg of you, I tell you, don't ever be afraid to call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. He loves us just that much. And we ain't got to call and call. It only takes one ringing, dinging. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We are so blessed to know You. We are so full of what You have given us. The Holy Spirit. The knowledge. We are rescued. We are lifted. We are delivered. We can use 100 different words to simply say, You love us. And You have saved us. And will save us over and over again. Remind us of who we are and what we have. And the compassion You give, Father. We thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, what is the last hymn? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Why do you keep doing that? As we sing the last hymn, if you need that prayer, the bench is open. If you're on the other side wondering, the lines of communication are open. And it started in 1874 with the simple phrase, Watson, come here, I need you. You can give us one ringy-dingy. May God bless each and every one of you and watch over and keep you. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 479.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling the sinner, come home.
Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Let's keep that in our heart. As we go forward this week, Father, watch over and keep us in all things. In your name, your Son's name, and the Holy Ghost's name, now and forevermore. Amen.